Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that's what we have been examining in this series that we are doing right now. Who is the real Jesus? Now, there are many counterfeits out there. There are many who claim to know Jesus. There are many religious movements out there claiming that they are Christian. But how do you know? Instead of asking the question, these people can't be wrong, can they? The question is, what is the truth? Now, we know that the carnal mind is enmity against the law of God. We know that human nature is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. We know the scriptures tell us there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So it's not what you believe, though you have to believe correctly. It's not whether you may feel you're sincere. It is whether you are answering the call of God. It's whether you really believe God and Jesus Christ, not what you feel. Today, people are taught to think with feelings in a subjective way, and they accept that as truth and verification because they feel good about it. But it may not be good. And it may not be true. So you have to prove these things. Now, in this series we've been going through, we've been learning an awful lot about the true Jesus. And so we find the teachings of Jesus in John the 6th chapter actually are laying the foundation for what will later become the true Christian covenant Passover. Maybe you've never heard of that. That may sound contradictory. And a Jew may say, oh, there can't be a Christian Passover. Well, yes, there is. And in laying this foundation in John the 6th chapter, we are learning an awful lot about how God deals in working with people and calling them. Now, the Father is the one who draws us, and we have to come through Jesus Christ to get to the Father. And we have to believe by proving the truth from the Scriptures and being convicted in heart and mind and spirit by the Spirit of God unto repentance and baptism. Now, all of those things are combined. And unless you go through those things, you're not a true Christian, and you don't believe in the true Jesus. It's not a matter of saying, well, I have been sincere, but my church just didn't teach me. Now, you may have been sincere, and your church didn't teach you. Those may be true statements. But then the question becomes, how do you come to Jesus Christ? How do you come to the Father? As we saw last time, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Now let's come back to John the 6th chapter and continue where we left off. Let's read again verse 45 at what Jesus said. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. That's the one who does the teaching. That's why it's so important that in the ministry and teachers and pastors that they teach the word of God, not the traditions of men. Listen, the traditions of men will never save you. The teachings of men will never save you. Only God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And that's what we are to believe. And this is what we are to live by. So the Father draws us, and we're taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard from the Father and has learned comes to me. Then the next verse is very important for us to understand. Because there are a lot of people who say, well, God spoke to me. And Jesus said, you have never heard the voice of the Father at any time. Oh, well, I saw God in a dream. Jeremiah 23 says, the lying dreams of ministers and teachers caused the people to go astray. God spoke to me. No, God does not speak to you. But you learn from his word what you should do. Now, verse 46 is a very key important thing. No one has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me has eternal life. Now, that belief is unto obedience. Believing the word of God as Jesus taught it, as he inspired it to be written, so that it comes down to us today. The truth of God, the word of God. The Spirit of truth to lead us, the Father to teach us, Jesus to be our Savior and Redeemer and High Priest and soon coming King in the kingdom of God when Jesus returns. Then he said, verse 48, I am the bread of life. Now that's quite a thing, isn't it? Then Jesus said something which really offended a lot of the Jews, and they didn't understand the symbolism of what he was saying. And the Catholics have the doctrine of transubstantiation, which is, at the Mass, the priest has the power to command Christ to come and put his flesh and blood in the host and in the wine. Though it tastes like wine and tastes like bread, it's really his flesh. Did you know that that is an impossible doctrine and not true? Want to know why? Jesus is a spirit being. From the time of his resurrection, he took back his identity as God and is a spirit being and no longer has any flesh and blood. So the priest cannot command Jesus to put his flesh and blood into the sacraments, as they call it, of the Eucharist. It is a mirage. It is a counterfeit. Jesus is the true bread. Notice what he says down here, verse 53, after the Jews were complaining, say, now how can he give his flesh to us to eat? Now, if I read the Old Testament, that, you know, eating human flesh is forbidden. So what is he talking about? Well, he's talking about spiritually. And he's talking about how we are to live. Let's read it. Therefore, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. No, you can't save yourselves, and you don't have the Spirit of God in you, and you do not have life in yourselves because you can't save yourself. Salvation comes from God, and you have to do it God's way through Jesus Christ and through the covenant that is the New Testament covenant. And here is a forerunner of what he taught his disciples on the night of his last Passover. Now, we'll get to those things in a bit, because those are all important. Remember this, that the communion in a Sunday-keeping Protestant church is a counterfeit of the true Christian Passover. The Passover is to be taken once a year. Now, you need to understand that. We have the book. Occult holidays are God's holy days, which gives you a summary of the Passover in the Old Testament and a summary of the Passover in the New Testament. Now, you need that book. You need that knowledge. You need to understand what the scriptures are really saying. Now, let's continue on. Verse 54. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood is dwelling in me, and I in him, and that is through the New Testament Christian covenant Passover ceremony with the unleavened bread and the wine, symbolic of his sinless life and symbolic of his shed blood. That's what is to be taken. And that is to be done on the Passover night. Paul said, in the same night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and broke it, and after giving thanks said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. And likewise with the cup, and after blessing it, he said, take and drink, for this is my blood shed for you, and for the remission of the sins of many. So this has to be done in the right way, at the right time, with the right understanding, with the truth concerning Jesus Christ. All of that together, you see. Now, we'll get to that in time. But let's see what Jesus said, that eating his flesh and drinking his blood for eternal life actually depicts for us to be doing. Now let's read it. Verse 57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so also the one who eats me shall live by me. It shows you walk in the way of Christ. You believe the truth of the Bible. You are in covenant with God through the covenant sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and your covenant sacrifice of baptism. Now those are some tremendous things to understand. And you won't hear this in any Sunday-keeping church, because they do not keep the true Christian Passover, and they are not in covenant with God, and neither are the Catholics, and neither are the other religions. And with this coming one world religion, there is a huge crossroad that we all have to cross. We all have to choose, are we going in the way of Jesus Christ, in the truth of Jesus Christ, to receive eternal life from God the Father in Jesus Christ? Are we doing that? See, because unless you are, you don't have any life. Then some of the disciples who were following Jesus were offended by this, and they left and walked no more with Jesus. So you see, it also gets down to the same way with people today. Do you really believe Jesus Christ and God the Father? Do you really believe the Word of God? Now, then the apostles, Jesus said, verse 61, Jesus, knowing that his disciples were complaining about this, said to them, does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before? And again and again and again and again through the Gospel of John, Jesus came from heaven, he's going back to heaven, he is now in heaven, he came down from heaven, he is the Word of God, he is God manifested in the flesh all the way through. This tells us about the true Jesus. Now, here's something for you to understand to the very depths of your being. It's not a matter of knowledge. It is a matter of truth and God's Spirit. It is a matter of loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. It is a matter of walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Verse 63, it is the Spirit that gives life, the flesh profits nothing. Now, all the traditions of men and their religions are the works of the flesh. Now, they may have what they believe a spiritual substance behind it, but that's not the Spirit of God. There is another spirit in this world called the Prince of the Power of the Air, that spirit that is now inner working in the children of disobedience. And that spirit permeates all the religions of the world. That's why Satan is going to bring them all together in his coming one world religion. Oh, there's going to be a marvelous thing to happen. Oh, we all get along with each other and we all accept each other, except those over there who believe in the Bible. That day is coming. That day is coming. But here's what we are to experience when we read the Bible. It is to be a spiritual experience because the words that are recorded here were spoken by Jesus. That's why they have to be accurately translated. That's what we did with the Holy Bible in its original order. We rejected all the commandments and interpretations of men, all the traditions of men, and translated the New Testament and Old Testament to reflect the true meaning of those original languages. So when you read the Bible, something happens that if you are searching and trying to find God, that will happen in no other book that you read. Because the power that is behind these words printed on the page is the Spirit of God. And it is the Spirit of God that gives understanding. And it is the Spirit of God from the Father that is drawing you to understand. So this is why when you read and study the Bible, and it's a whole lifelong study too, by the way, and you devote yourself to the Word of God, things happen in your mind spiritually with your spirit and the Spirit of God so you understand. Now, remember where we read that people want to be religious, but it's just like Isaiah said, that in hearing they don't hear and seeing they don't see and they don't understand because they're not willing to believe and obey. Are you? Where are you in your life? What are these videocasts that we have? What are they to you? Do they help you understand the Bible? Well, if they do, then you better proceed and follow what God's Spirit is leading you to. Because notice what Jesus said. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. You can't have the truth of God without the Word of God. And you must have the Spirit of truth to lead you and guide you, which comes from God the Father and Jesus Christ, and is the power of God. That's why this Gospel of John is so important, because it brings out the spiritual reality of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And it shows us how desperately we need to know the truth. And it shows that as we read and study the Bible, the whole Bible, Old and New Testament, we learn, we change, we grow, we repent, we overcome, we begin to live by every word of God. And we set that as the way for us to go because Jesus set the way, didn't he? And we follow in what God teaches and we believe what's in the Word of God. And that's how we receive eternal life. Now, notice what else Jesus said, because this is important for us to understand. Jesus chose the 12, and one of them was Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, who was influenced by, and at the end, possessed by, Satan the devil to betray Jesus Christ. Now, notice, Jesus is telling us, all of this that we have covered through chapter 6, it doesn't come by our own understanding. This is the revelation of God. Now, verse 64, Jesus said, "But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who were the ones that did not believe and who would betray him." So there were even some of the disciples. And when you read the account there in Luke 24, the two disciples who were following Jesus and thought all was lost because he was crucified and died and buried, Jesus said to them when he explained to them, "Oh, of hard heart, how long refuse you to believe the scriptures?" Likewise with us. Do we refuse to believe the scriptures? Does that not make us hard-hearted and resisting the Spirit of God, resisting the truth of God? Then there was Judas who would betray him. Verse 65, Jesus said, "For this reason I have said to you, no one can come to me unless it has been given to him from my Father." Now you need to think and dwell and meditate on that. See, this is what repentance is all about. Repentance is repenting of our way, of our self-righteousness, of our sins, of thinking that we can come to God and thinking we can select a little here and select a little there and create our own comfortable little religion, where we don't take the Word of God, which is a two-edged sword, and cuts to the dividing of sunder of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. No, no, a lot of people can't handle that. That's why we need repentance. Now notice what happened. Verse 66, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." What about you? Which category do you fit into? What are you going to do? How are you going to live your life? What is your relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ? All of those are questions that we need to ask here. Now, we have seen how it is. Many come, they're very enthusiastic, and then when it gets down to crunch time, which this is crunch time, all of John, the sixth chapter, is crunch time. Do you really believe? Are you really responding to God? What is it that you're going to do with your life? Some of the disciples couldn't stand it, so they left him. Now, I know there will be some people who can't stand what I'm saying, and they will just turn off church at home. I hope that they don't, but there will be those who will. Then Jesus looked at the 12 whom he selected, and he asked them, "Are you also desiring to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have known that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." How did that come by? Because Peter was intelligent? No. Jesus said, when Peter answered that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said the Father revealed it to him. So you see how this operates? You must come to God. And you must come to God his way. And you must come to the real God the Father and the true Jesus Christ. Not by what you desire or by your effort. Yes, we have to have our effort, but that's not that you think of it and you do it your way. You respond to God and do it his way. Notice what Jesus answered when they were so sure that they understood this. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you 12 and one of you is a devil?" Now he spoke of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, for he was about to betray him, being one of the 12. So you see, we can never come to an entitlement, smug Christianity. Once saved, always saved, hallelujah, bless the Lord, eternal salvation for all. Now you've got to have the whole Bible, and you've got to come to God the Father in Jesus Christ this way, because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and I hope that these things are helping you to understand who the true Jesus Christ really is, who the true God the Father really is, and how you can develop a relationship with them through repentance and prayer and study. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and this is Fred Coulter saying, until next time, so long, everyone.